right now is the first Sunday after the Feast of the Epiphany. And the Feast of the Epiphany occurred yesterday. It's a big feast in the church. Actually, it's Christmas for Christians in the Orthodox Church. Today is their Christmas. They are celebrating their Christmas. I remember last year, I don't know whether you know, but the ladies who come and clean the church for us once a week, they're Orthodox. And I was here one Thursday before the first Sunday after Epiphany, and they said, "We're just getting ready for Christmas. Just getting ready for Christmas." So while they're celebrating their Christmas, this Sunday we're beginning to leave the season of Christmas behind us for another year. The Feast of the Epiphany, which we celebrated, the church celebrated yesterday, recalls the time as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew when Magi, wise men following a star, journeyed from the east to visit the infant Jesus. When they arrived in Bethlehem, on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. There is a deep magic, I think, that surrounds the Epiphany story. It's why it's been a favorite of composers and poets and artists alike. When I came in this morning and I turned on my radio, there was an Epiphany piece by a composer. Each Christmastide, we marvel at the wise men in their exotic robes. We look with wonder at their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and what they symbolize, as I told the young folks, gold for kingship, frankincense as a symbol of royal priesthood, and myrrh, an embalming oil used at death, foreshadowing of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. None of that, of course, is in the gospel story. It just lists the gifts. It's left to the later church to add the significance and the symbolic meaning of those gifts. But then again, some modern scholars who are clearly more attuned to the practical side of things have gone so far as to suggest that the wise men were more concerned to protect the infant Jesus from arthritis. For apparently, in ancient times, the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh the wise men presented were used to relieve arthritic pain. I leave you to ponder that little gem. But for me, it is those final words in Matthew's narrative that linger. They left for their own country by another road. The reason offered that the wise men did not return the same way as they came was to avoid Herod and his soldiers, who were seeking the infant Jesus to kill him. A good enough reason, to be sure. The poet T.S. Eliot, in his well-known poem Journey of the Magi, offers us another perspective which I find increasingly compelling. Eliot writes that having visited the Holy Family, the wise men returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation. Whatever it was the wise men were seeking, when they saw the Christ child, it clearly affected them deeply. Having offered their gifts, they departed by another road, not merely topographical, but spiritual, for their encounter with Jesus changed their lives. Now, on this Sunday after the Epiphany, a Sunday we call the baptism of the feast of our Lord, the Gospel writer Mark moves us on a decade or three from the birth of Jesus to the moment in history when Jesus goes to John the Baptist and is baptized by him in the River Jordan. John the Baptist, you'll recall, is that prickly character who steps out of the wilderness into the gospel story, preaching a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He's the one that often refers to us as not very nice people. You brood of vipers, I believe, is a word he uses. And then the gospel quite easily slides into the phrase, and by such exhortations, Mark preached the good news. If that's the good news, please spare me from the bad. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, a baptism of transformation. To borrow T.S. Eliot's words again, the people who came to John the Baptist were no longer at ease in the old dispensation, whether it be personal or collective. They wanted to leave by another road of life. The Gospels are silent as to what compelled Jesus to go and be baptized by John. What they are in reasonable agreement about is what happened. Mark tells us that the heavens was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." From the moment Jesus was baptized, he began to live into his name, a godly name. Whatever road Jesus walked to come to John the Baptist, like the wise men years before had journeyed to see him as an infant and left by another road, so Jesus left John by another road. The road John expected Jesus to tread was a road of separation and judgment. The road Jesus would tread was a different road, a road of healing and love that would end on a cross. The season of Epiphany also happens to fall in the season of New Year's resolutions. Most of us, I suppose, tend to spend our lives making some form of New Year's resolutions. If not at the turn of the year, then certainly on birthdays and other anniversaries. There's something about anniversaries that allow you to wipe the slate clean and start again on whatever year it is you want to start on. The problem with such resolutions, of course, is that they tend to scratch the surface, to not go very deep, and, to be honest, somewhat self-centered. There's nothing wrong in giving up chocolate for a year, or in my case, giving up bread and cheese and all those other wonderful things that I won't do, which is why we have a confession and we have sin. But such are the ways of New Year's resolutions. T.S. Eliot, in his poem Journey of the Magi, wants us to imagine that what changed the wise men was not some New Year's resolution, but the willingness to let God's grace move them by what they had seen and experienced. A new way of looking at life, a new way at looking at death. Consider for a moment. The wise men were men of influence and power. They were men of wisdom. They were men of status and privilege. And they brought gifts of great value. They were not some latter-day Queen of Sheba's visiting a kind of King Solomon, someone of their own caste. Rather, these men of influence and power coming to worship an infant born in poverty. And when they encountered the Holy Family, not in some castle or palace, but in a stable or a house where animals likely slept. When they came to that place, their worldview changed. We might call this the transformative power of the incarnate God. And what was true for the wise men, we can imagine was true for the people who came to John the Baptist for baptism. And what might be true for us in our own day, if we would only let it. Epiphany means, literally, manifestation. God in Christ being made manifest in and through and around us, in such a way as it transforms us, compels us to see life through a different lens, to return by another road, the road Christ walked, a road of love, forgiveness, and hope. As I get older, I am less inclined to New Year's resolutions, well-meaning though they may be. My sense is, what's the point? But that does not mean I'm not open to being transformed. To be transformed is to be willing to step out of the bubble we live in, to step out of our comfort zone, being willing to at least acknowledge a world different from the one we occupy, being willing to acknowledge that might does not always equate with right, that wealth is not necessarily an icon of industriousness any more than poverty is a symbol of laziness. To be willing to acknowledge that there is a corporate nature to sin, to which we are all complicit, as well as a personal one. I could go on. The list is endless. The writer Henry Nouwen, in a book he wrote titled The Life of the Beloved, expresses the transformed life in Christ this way. The one who created us is waiting for our response to the love that gave us our being. God not only says, "You are my beloved," God also asks, "Do you love me?" And offers us countless chances to say yes. So I've not made any New Year's resolutions this year, not at least consciously. What I hope I have done, what I hope I am doing on this festival of the baptism of our Lord, is to be moved anew by the story of the Magi and make this my life's resolution. To learn to live a transformed life, not just this year, but all my days, until it becomes my turn to return by another road. I wish you all a happy new year. I wish you more a blessed Epiphany. Amen.